Turn up the radio, it's time to have some fun. We got Adam and Calvin, the dynamic duo. They're gonna make you laugh until you're done. Listening to WGH talk of the joy 1-0. Their banter and jokes ain't nothing better. They'll keep you entertained, no need to worry. Just sit back, relax, and let it all unfetter. With Adam the Computer Guy and Calvin Williams, hurry. Tune in to WGH Talk, you won't be disappointed. The Adam and Calvin Show, a laughter explosion. Brighten up your day, leave you all delighted. Just turn it up and feel that positive emotion.
And hello once again, valued listeners. Adam Lepp here on WGH Talk Radio. And yes, as you heard from this new, fangled, fancy-dancy, and rather innovative little jingle song thingamajiggery, Calvin Williams from the great state of Idaho is going to join me on the program to talk about life, current history, past history, eclipses, interviewers to the stars here at this very station, and like any program featuring yours truly, likely a surprise or two, but most importantly, laughter will be occurring, I would say, at least every 3.14 minutes. So, Calvin, how are you today on this fine day in the month of April?
I'm doing pretty good this morning. I just got off of a 12-hour shift at work, so some people probably think I'm crazy for recording a radio show after a 12-hour shift, but my sleep schedule is non-existent, and the concept of time is dead to me. So right now, I feel fine. I'm ready.
Well, that is always a good thing, and it's good to stay busy and keep occupied and have a variety of activities in your life. You just get one life, and make it a good one. Help people, help yourself, learn something new every day, and just make the world a better place to live in. Calvin, for those who may not be familiar with you or your appearances on this radio program, and by golly, jeepers creepers, I believe this is appearance number 4. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how out there far away in Lewiston in western Idaho, you ended up becoming a listener and participant on this radio station.
So for long story short, because hopefully enough people have heard our show by now that they've heard my bio the previous times, I used to live in Grove City, Ohio. I was born and raised there. In 2021, my dad got a job out here that required him transferring across country. At the time, I was in no financial shape to start out on my own and stay in Ohio, so, you know, can't beat him, join him. And then how I discovered WGH, I had been driving up to Marion one day to buy a welder from a friend of mine that lived up there, and I was flipping through the FM band, and I landed on WGH, and I was immediately captivated by this one interview that I was listening to, and I've been a loyal listener ever since.
So you kind of found the station sort of by accident, just surfing the dial. Now, a lot of people don't do that. I have Sirius XM, and I know where the channels are that play the kind of music I like, generally 70s, 80s, Yacht Rock 25, the classic Rewind, 26, the slightly older classic Rewind, and the R&B station I like, and the special stations, the tributes, the artist-specific stations, such as Bruce Springsteen or Tom Petty. In this case, you kind of did the old-fashioned thing, Calvin, and were surfing around, and at the frequency we housed the station at that point, it was right at the right side of the dial. So you found the right station, and you have been listening all along, and by the magic and power of the internet and virtual listening devices and broadcasting, you can be pretty much in Australia and still be listening, but you are in the same country, just the other side of the country. As we've talked about, Calvin, obviously living in the Western Rockies and northwestern part of this great country, Pacific time zone, the lifestyle is quite different. And we're all Americans. We all live in this great country. We speak English. We work, etc. But there are differences in the lifestyle. The terrain is obviously much more rugged. I guess the most surprising thing, Calvin, is the cost of living is quite a bit higher there versus Columbus. Now, Lewiston is about the same size as Marion, but different in that it's not an easy drive from multiple large cities. I mean, from Marion, you can get to Toledo, Columbus, Dayton within a couple hours, even Detroit and Pittsburgh, Chicago are an easy drive in several hours that you can do in part of a day. You can go to Spokane, to Boise, even Denver, or even to Canada. It's not super far, but it's much more spread out. I guess the big thing with pricing, Calvin, is gas. At a sheet station, recently I paid, I think with my loyalty card, all of $2.84.9 for their E15 gas, and regular gas was might have been like $3.09.9. But in general, it's been right around $3. What's the current price for gas over there? And tell us why you think gas is quite a bit more out there in Lewiston, surprisingly, versus what it is here in the Buckeye State.
So the current gas price in Lewiston is $3.90 a gallon. And I drive a Nissan. I don't drive a big jacked up truck or anything. I just have a Nissan Pathfinder. But the other day I got gas. It was $3.85 already at that time. And it was almost $75 to fill my tank. And at the risk of sounding like a conspiracy theorist, the reason I believe for the higher gas prices out here is due to our proximity to California, which notoriously has always had higher gas prices than anywhere else in the U.S.
So it's almost like they are in collusion with California, where everything seems to be twice to thrice the price that it is here in the Midwest. Now, Idaho is a food-producing state. We know about the potatoes, the license plate, famous potatoes. We talked on a previous show that chickpeas, a favorite food of mine, made you can make hummus into it, very healthy. They're also a big crop there in Idaho. How do you think the food prices are? Milk currently is typically about $3.25 a gallon. What does it cost there? And in general, is food as much more expensive there than it is back in the Columbus Marion area?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It, just like everything, it is so much more expensive out here. And actually, one thing that a lot of people here in Lewiston do, due to our proximity to Clarkston, Washington, a lot of us will go over the bridge 5 minutes into Clarkston and get groceries in Washington, because Washington doesn't have a grocery tax. There's even a local-owned grocery store in Washington that advertises on the bridge, come to our store for tax-free Washington groceries.
So people are kind of doing that, almost like you go to Canada, you're paying the value-added tax. So being on the border, if you're not familiar with Lewiston, it's right on the border of Washington, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not a bad drive. Yep. And how far of a drive?
If I look out my back window right now, I can see the bridge that would take me into Clarkston, Washington. I'm literally living right on the border.
So that's kind of cool. I go to Cincinnati from time to time, and the suburbs are in three states. So it's cool when you don't have to go far, and you're still in the same part of the country. But there are always differences state to state. Kentucky and Ohio have many differences, certainly from Cincinnati. Northern Kentucky isn't that different from being in Cincinnati, but you drive a little further into the state, you see the horses, you see the bluegrass. It just seems more southern, so it's cool to make that 1 or 2 hour trip and yet see so many differences. Adam Lepp here on WGH Talk Radio, talking with Mr. Calvin Williams, a Columbus area native, now living in western Idaho near the Washington state border in Lewiston, Idaho. And we talk about multiple things here. Sometimes we don't really talk about much at all. So maybe it's a bit like Seinfeld, the show about nothing, but it's still funny nonetheless. Sometimes, you know, Calvin, just shooting the breeze and talking about life in general, it could be one of the most entertaining indulgences in the broadcasting business. Now, we talk about this topic on every program, but it is a fascinating. And one thing we want to tell folks, Calvin, is that you may come across and you may sound older, but you're only 22 years old. In fact, Calvin was born several days after 9/11/2001. So he is probably the oldest 22-year-old that I've ever met. And if I ever meet a 22-year-old or someone in that age group whom I feel comes across as older, I would probably be quite intrigued. So we never really talked about this, Calvin, but again, we've talked off the air about it. Since you were born just a few days after this major, very tragic event in American history, did your parents ever talk to you about it? Do you have any, is there any mystique about the time in American history that you were born? It's kind of hard to, I guess, quantify it, because I remember what I was doing, the circumstances, reading about it, just the shock, and how the world has changed permanently since the events of 9/11/2001. Does that ever come up? Have your parents talked to you about it? Does it come up when you were in high school? Is it mentioned in recent history? That does kind of intrigue me, because although you do seem so much older, you literally were born after that event, and on that day, the world changed permanently, and will never go back to some of the ways that we had before.
So I guess I'm in that in-between generation where, growing up and going through school, on 9/11, we would have like a moment of silence in the classroom during the morning announcements on 9/11, but not young enough to be in the generation where 9/11 is now in our history books. And growing up, my parents never really talked much about it. But one thing that they did tell me about 9/11 that I do remember to this day, and obviously this happened on 9/11 before I was born, they just told me this, but on the morning of 9/11, I guess my mom had some kind of doctor's appointment for before I was born, and she was listening to the radio that morning, getting ready for the day, and the news of what was happening came on the radio, and she was listening to WNCI, so at that time, she had just thought it was another one of those radio pranks that Dave and Jimmy do. Didn't think much of it at the time, and then later in the day, she was watching TV and then realized, like, oh crap, this is real, this is happening.
I sometimes drop little hints about my age or past things that I've done or issues that I may have had. I was 37 years old, Calvin, when that occurred, and I remember it vividly. I'll never forget it. It is certainly the most tragic event in my lifetime, and it's, at a lack of a better term, very surreal that you were born after the event occurred, and it's thought of as recent history. We always remember what happened. We'll never forget about it. But just with airports, I'm not someone who has flown a lot. In fact, I haven't flown since the events of 2001. The last time I flew was approximately 1999. It wasn't far. It was to the New York City area. But certainly I've picked up at the airport and taken people to the airport. Used to just go right to almost where that you enter the airplane or you leave the airplane to pick somebody up. Obviously, airports have always been very secure, but it has changed so much where that whole area is no longer accessible to people. Doesn't matter if you're the spouse, a mother, etc. You do not wait for the person there or pick him or her up there. That has just changed so much. And obviously, airport security is extremely important, anything related to public transportation. But the world has just changed so much. And that, arguably, Calvin, is the biggest difference between someone in my age group or someone in your age group. And it's fascinating to me that someone I consider to be a colleague, and again, partially, Calvin, it's because you seem so much older. Normally, I don't really get along well or have much in common with someone in your age group. But in your case, you do seem older. We'll talk a bit about your job also, and that also relates to how you have a position both with your union and in your company in general that is more indicative of somebody 40, 50 years old or older than you get into my age group, for goodness sakes. But again, sometimes you find people that seem like they might be very different have a lot of things in common. And that's just how life is. And it's always good to meet people of different backgrounds and lifestyles. And you might find you have a lot more in common with them than you think you do, or vice versa. If anybody has any comments, questions, suggestions, complaints, or other feedback for myself, please send me an email. And that address is adam@wwgh1071.com. I do read all email messages. Even if you want to say, "Hi, Adam, how are you doing? Thank you for the program." Or, "Hi, Adam, I don't like your program, so I listen to Sirius XM 70s on 7 instead." Well, that's okay. I don't expect everybody to love me. But when I do hear feedback, good or bad, it does help me improve. And minds are like parachutes, of course. If they're not open, they don't work. Calvin, we talk about your job a lot, and you have an industrial-type job. You are employed at a paper factory, and with my chem background, I certainly find that to be fascinating. And like everybody else, I use paper, maybe not as much as I used to, because everything seems to be on a computer or a smartphone nowadays, but certainly paper has its use. One fascinating thing, Calvin, before we talk more about your job and your union position, which you've pretty much gotten the promotion since the last time we talked. You were really moving up there in the union at your very, very tender age. You were producing some paper for a client in the western Akron suburbs, and I go to Akron from time to time. In fact, I recently went there. The company is in Wadsworth, Ohio. So all the way over in western Idaho, Calvin, you guys are producing paper for clients not far from your old stomping grounds. Is that kind of cool? And you do a lot of production there at the paper mill for companies in Ohio and nearby states.
Yes, a lot of our paper goes to Wadsworth, and then we have another Ohio client in Batavia. And the Batavia client, I believe, takes the paper and uses their own machines to convert it into coffee cups. And then the paper that goes to Wadsworth, I believe, gets converted into folding cartons for milk.
Well, milk. That certainly is a favorite beverage of mine, and one that's also used, of course, in my coffee that I'm drinking right now, as the coffee cup is often at my side when I'm on the radio or doing other tasks. And Batavia, talking about Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken, is an eastern outlying suburb of the great Queen City of Cincinnati. That make you a little homesick, Calvin, that you are producing products northeastern Ohio, southwestern Ohio. It is kind of cool. It's all the way there in Idaho. The paper comes right back to your old stomping grounds.
So I wouldn't say it makes me homesick, but I would say I find it fascinating to see where all of our paper goes from what, at least to most people, including myself, feels like just a little small town paper mill. I mean, we have paper that goes out of the country to Japan for sterile medical packaging. We have a customer in Australia. We sell worldwide. I never would have thought that we produced for such a wide spectrum of consumers.
Yeah, paper industry is quite fascinating. Paper is still being used, but a lot of what you do is not writing paper. It's paper towels, tissues, bathroom tissue, or also known as toilet paper. Not working there. You were, I believe, living in the Columbus area during the great toilet paper shortage associated with COVID. Hopefully there will not be another great toilet paper shortage, but certainly with the kind of paper used around the home in the men's room or ladies' room, that obviously will never become a non-useful product. As long as we have humans, we will have those kinds of products. So paper is an industry that is going quite strong. And we've talked about this before, Calvin. We encourage people to recycle, as a lot of what you produce there is pulp that comes from recycled products. Remind us again What percentage do you think of the pulp that you have in the paper actually does come from recycled products?
I'd say on average around 30% or so, but we do have certain consumers that require us to use 100% post-consumer fiber bales of pulp.
So we do implore people, Calvin, and you and I are definitely on the same page with this. Do recycle just about any paper. If it's not coated with a plastic type material, again, newspaper, if you still read a paper, newspaper, magazine, of course, junk mail, computer paper. If something has personal information, just shred it. Shred it, and it's still very recyclable and can be repurposed without having to cut down more trees and affect our precious environment here in the great United States. So we see firsthand, Calvin, the recycling and how important it is in your job and how it makes everything just function a lot better. And also the clients that are requesting mostly or all recycled paper, their needs are fulfilled, and obviously it makes your employer look environmentally friendly and look like a good member of the great American manufacturing process. Calvin Williams again, live from Lewiston, Idaho, here on The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio. Someone who called into the Scott Spears program and still calls into the program and talks about all kinds of interesting stuff. And he and I have started doing radio programs and other methods of communication, and we always find an interesting topic to talk about. Honestly, Calvin, I could be talking about your job a long time, as paper is a fascinating field. I mentioned earlier that you have been very active in your union. You are the steward there, and it's certainly not common that a 22-year-old would be a steward at a paper mill for the United Steelworkers of America. But tell us again about that steward job, and I guess you recently got your own office, so you've essentially been promoted. Tell us about the steward job, maybe how you got that job, and about your little promotion and your personalized office that you now call your second home.
So before I get into that, I want to circle back real quick to the topic of recycling from earlier. So one thing I found interesting about recycling in Columbus versus recycling out here, both Columbus and Lewiston use a single stream recycling system. So just take everything and throw it in your blue bin and then they separate it. But in Columbus, you were allowed to recycle glass. Out here in Lewiston, they tell you basically do not under any circumstances put any glass in your recycle bin.
Now, glass is recyclable. Beer bottles, applesauce containers, and I know I add them, but I'm always concerned that they're going to break. And once they do, there are obviously safety issues and whether or not it's going to be recyclable. They say here in Columbus to recycle only the jars that have the thinner neck that are actually jar shaped, not ones that are wider or like a drinking glass. And the single stream, I never quite understood it. Now I understand that these robots, sometimes with the help of experienced humans who can sort things very, very quickly. Not unlike the post office sorting through mail, they can differentiate, well, this is paper, this is a number 2 plastic and number 1 plastic. And this is something which should not be recycled. This is an aluminum can that used to have peas or corn in it. But the glass, though, the glass is a bit different. And with a single stream, it's just amazing how they can sort through these products, and bottom line is the paper will end up being repurposed at a plant like yours. And so once again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, folks, but please do recycle. Marion has a great recycling program. It's part of your trash pickup. You know, I own a property in Marion. We pay the $22 a month for trash pickup and recycling, and we encourage people to use it. It's great for the environment. And scientifically, it is fascinating. And so again, folks, if you don't recycle, please start. Make that a delayed New Year's resolution, because that is a win-win situation for everybody. Also keeps your trash neater. You can't go ahead and separate what is recyclable and what isn't. So There's my little pitch about recycling, Calvin. I know you and I are on the same page with that one. So about your union position as steward and your new office, where you can actually hang a little shingle with your name on it. Tell folks about that. And is it exciting at your age to have such a important position with the steelworkers?
So it is definitely an exciting position. Receiving it was definitely unexpected. The imposter syndrome is still very real. I won't talk too much on the office yet because it's not fully official and set up, but I started out as a steward, and I still am a steward though, but part of what I do obviously is enforce the contract and protect employees from predatory management, you know, be there to answer contract questions, clarify contract language, be there as a resource for anybody to come to with questions. But we just had our elections at my local, and I got nominated with no contest to be the board member for the executive board for my department. So long story short, what most of that position is just helping with public relations of the union and setting up events for the union members, like the Christmas party that we have every year for the union members at the local bowling alley, the union picnic with the Idaho AFL-CIO, and just other kinds of public relations type deals.
That does sound quite fascinating, and we've mentioned again, you're in your early 20s, but you seem and you sound well, maybe not as old as I am, but close. Are the union workers and at the steel mill, Calvin, I imagine, are a very diverse bunch. We talked about not a lot of women are in the business, which is a shame because it's a great job for a female. We encourage women looking at an industrial job or a trade, just like with recycling, go for it. No one says that a plumber or a steel worker or an electrician has to be a guy. I don't understand why it is a male-dominated field. So women, if you're considering an industrial job, go for it. I'll tell you one thing, and Calvin can certainly agree. The pay is pretty good, great benefits, and in many cases, you have a union to protect you, or you work for yourself. And as any other homeowner can attest to, electricians charge a lot more per hour than, they charge more per hour than I do as a computer tech, even though my rates probably are a little too low. But if you need an electrician or an HVAC person or a plumber, that's good money, whether you work for a company, you work in an industrial setting, or you work for yourself. So I guess that is an issue, Calvin. Not a lot of women work on the assembly line or in the plant with you. How many women or what percentage of your coworkers are women? And what can we do to encourage more females to take up a position like the one that you have?
So I don't have an exact number of our female membership. I will say, being a younger steward now on the executive board and also the member of the Next Generation Committee, one thing I've wanted to do with our local is start a Women of Steel chapter with my local, which Women of Steel is one of the programs that the United Steelworkers has. But the only issue is, we literally do not have enough female workforce at our mill for me to be able to start a local chapter for Women of Steel.
That's a shame. You agree with me, Calvin. There is no unwritten rule or any reason why women cannot do the job that you do. And I think in bringing in a diverse workforce also makes it better. New ideas. And makes it more fascinating when not everybody at your job comes from the same background. Let's another demographic topic, Calvin. Are you one of the youngest people there? I mean, being a shop steward, we know you're one of the youngest shop stewards in the universe. But in terms of the workers there, what kind of an age distribution do you have? You probably aren't the youngest, but maybe who's the oldest? And what's kind of the distribution of the ages of people that are working at the plant?
So I'd say it's majority middle-aged people. A lot of the new hires recently have been closer to my age, and We've had a couple people that have applied at the mill and got hired on straight after graduation, 18 years old, but they just couldn't handle that kind of work and they quit their first weekend. And then the remaining group of workers that we have people in their 60s that are staying out there until they're 65 so they get their full retirement. And then we have the select few that are well into their 70s and they're only working out there because they have no kids or no family, nothing else to do. And if they retired, they would be bored and not have anything to do. So they just keep working so that they have something to do.
So the workforce is fairly diverse, but it is mostly of the male persuasion. And quite honorably, you're looking to change that. Start a chapter of the Women of Steel, like Superman or Superwoman. And I applaud you for that. The younger people that get hired, Calvin, do they kind of relate to you being your age group as the steward, or are they kind of amazed thinking, well, my dad told me union stewards were 60 years old and they've worked there for 30 years. Any thoughts? Have you befriended any of your coworkers that are in your same age group?
Honestly, I can't say so. I think the youngest coworker I have that I consider a close friend or somebody that I can relate to is 35. A lot, and I'm not at all bashing my own generation. I often make the point that I was raised right, but a lot of the people in my age group that get hired on have no desire or drive to be there or actually do the job, and then they quit a week into their first 90 days.
So it's a shame that they just punch the time clock, or I guess use an app nowadays to clock in. You don't really use the old fashioned time clock, but whatever you guys use to clock in,
we have a time clock.
Okay, you have the old fashioned time clock where you put the card in and it makes a little noise and stamps the time. That's kind of cool.
It's not an old fashioned one, so it is a device that's mounted on the wall, but we have a credit card sized card with a barcode on it where the magnetic strip on a credit card otherwise would be. And we swipe our card on that and then it logs it onto the program Kronos.
Okay. So it's kind of a hybrid between the newfangled apps and internet based and computer based stuff and the old fashioned time clock. I kind of like the one that Fred Flintstone used where the dinosaur bites into the card. We don't really have that anymore. It's not an app though. You don't have to use your phone to clock in, but it is on a card, and they use that obviously to get your hours. And when it's payday, I presume you don't get a regular paper paycheck, right? It's all direct deposit. Is that, or do you get a debit card? I mean, when I had a day job, Calvin, I haven't had a day job since 1999, since when your parents were probably in high school and you hadn't even been born yet. So I presume you don't get a paper check anymore. It's direct deposited. Is direct deposit required? Again, I'm so out of the loop, Calvin. I haven't had a day job like that in 25 years, so I don't know. I'm talking like I'm clueless. But what's the deal with how you're paid?
So direct deposit is required, and that's actually part of your new hire paperwork that you sign in, is put in your account and routing number to set up direct deposit or give them the voided check to get it set up.
Voided check. Do people your age even know what a voided check is? Well, you probably do. It's as we mentioned, Calvin, you are the oldest 22-year-old I've ever met, but your best friend at work, who's somewhat young, is early middle age, about 35, 36 years old. So bit fascinating, but it's okay. You never quite know which people will mesh well. And it's always important to meet your coworkers, learn about them, and grow from each other. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place with Calvin Williams from Idaho, anointed as the world's oldest 22-year-old, which always is a fascinating topic that I probably beat into the ground too much, but that's okay. Again, please send me an email. Let me know what you think about the program. adam@wwgh1071.com. Just about 8 minutes left, Calvin, as my mama always said, time flies when you're having fun. This has been a bit like Seinfeld, hasn't it? The show about nothing. We talk about your job, talk a bit about differences in culture. Haven't really talked about the eclipse, but I think the eclipse has been talked about so much, we shall pass over that, at least for now. This program will air on Eclipse Day 4/8/24, as well as repeat multiple times throughout the week, and of course be available in our archives at our website, wwgh1071.com. Calvin, we always find time to speak about current events and controversial topics. We have talked about, of course, COVID multiple times, and I guess this is kind of why we mesh well. We agree virtually 100% on COVID. Now, sometimes it's more fun when people don't agree completely, but our agreement, it's almost a bit spooky, though to me it's just common sense. We also talked about another very controversial topic on a recent program, transgender females, again, females being in quote, playing competitive sports, especially contact sports, on the female team. We both agree that that is fraudulent, should be illegal. And as far as I'm concerned, if it's a contact sport where you can get injured, such as what happened when a transgender female spiked a ball and injured a biological female on the volleyball court, I think you're committing assault and you should be punished for that. Not just you, but your coach and anybody else involved. We pretty much are in agreement on that. Let's talk about another controversial topic, Calvin, where I would assume would agree, maybe we won't, and that is the migration issue, illegal immigration specifically. You mentioned not far from California, which, as you know, has a serious problem with this. Headline on FoxNews.com, crisis in California, migrants overwhelming state with no end in sight, local officials warn. San Diego County, which again is very close to the border with Mexico, surging border crossings are putting a strain on communities in Southern California, where hordes of migrants are often spotted at transit hubs after immigration officials resumed street releases, local politicians say. San Diego County Supervisor Jim Desmond told Fox News, quote, there's no end in sight. This is a new norm, which I think we're going to get a rude wake-up call someday. Now, most people in this country, Calvin, certainly my ancestors, are immigrants, not natives of the United States, but came over legally. And in addition, we talked about 9/11/2001 and other events. The world has changed quite a bit. In fact, it's changed a lot since my great-grandparents migrated legally from Eastern Europe to the great United States. What are your thoughts on immigration, Calvin? And as a young person, are you scared that the illegal immigration is going to get so out of hand that it's going to affect the safety and other issues that we may have in this country?
Oh, yes, I agree absolutely, especially being in Idaho right next to California. They're all crossing into California. What's going to stop them from crossing in over here?
Now, you aren't far from the Canadian border, and there are issues on the Canadian border, but they are very different than issues from the Mexican border. How do you feel about maybe giving amnesty to people that have entered the country legally but are here and working? As has been discussed, many people from Latin America, whether they're here legally or not, are very good workers. And I agree. I think the work ethic is outstanding. But you still should come over here legally. And the idea of amnesty when you broke the law previously, regardless of how productive you are in society, that can't be overlooked, because then people will say, well, I'll just come over illegally and they'll give me amnesty in 5 to 10 years. Any thoughts about that? And I mean, we probably agree that many people who are natives of countries to the south of the United States are great workers, great people. Certainly attested that I love the food. I'll tell you that right now. But people still need to come over here legally. Any thoughts on that, Calvin? Especially as a younger person.
So I agree absolutely. As long as you come here legally and you're contributing in some fashion, I don't have any issue with it.
But the idea that people are coming illegally, that you're breaking into the United States, which to me is just like breaking into Walmart or breaking into somebody's house. Even if you become a very productive member of society, there are reasons why we have border security. And just think what you or I have to do, even to go to Canada, one of our closest allies, that we have to now present a passport. We may get our car searched, where we'll be questioned about the reason for our visit, et cetera. People just walking across the border. And are you with me, Calvin? I imagine you are, but let's ask, as being a mind reader is not one of my strong points. The Biden administration has been lax on this, and do we need to tighten things up, whether it's with this president or another one? How much do you think the Biden administration is at fault for this this crisis at the border?
So I don't know if I would necessarily place the Biden administration at fault, just because this has been an ongoing issue for several years since his administration. And I'd also say, like, amnesty and everything, it has to be purely circumstantial, because I know some people come across the border to get a job and actually try to find that opportunity to better themselves and, you know, live the American dream, as it is often said. But then I've also seen some stories where people are crossing the border and then they're leaving their kids behind at the border after they've crossed, and then their kids are put into these facilities, you know, until somebody can deal with them. I feel like it's purely circumstantial from individual to individual as to what their motives are for crossing, whether it's legal or not.
Yeah, it's a complex topic, and I think we'd agree that it will be a major debate topic as Donald Trump looks to reclaim residence at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and Joe Biden looks to get a second term. I think it'll be one of the big topics. But, and I would agree, Calvin, the Biden administration certainly is not innocent here, but they're probably being accused of a bit too much. It's a complex issue. And I would think Donald Trump will be having a lot to say about it, as well as some ideas that he might have. Certainly, we appreciate that people want to come here, greatest country in the world, and work, raise a family, embrace the American lifestyle. But there are reasons why we have border patrols and rules about how people cross and what they do when they get here. I guess that pretty much sums it up. Almost time to say goodbye, Calvin. We've covered about 10% of what we wanted to, but that's pretty typical. Anything you want to add about the border issue? And like myself, are you either looking forward to or kind of dreading all of the negative campaigning we're going to see between Biden and Trump on this issue?
So I don't really have anything on that at the moment, but at the risk of running over our allotted time, I did want to go off the cuff for a second and ask you something related to technology, something we're both really familiar with.
Well, that would be wonderful. I am Adam the Computer Guy, after all, so lay it on me, and I'll do my best to make sure my brain is properly stimulated and give the best answer that I can.
All right, so you've been into technology since before I was born, and I've been into technology pretty much since I was born. I remember growing up, a lot of USB cables had those big ferrite beads clamped onto them to prevent interference from leaking into the cable. In the recent years, though, you hardly ever see ferrite beads on USB cables anymore. Is that because they were deemed no longer necessary, or have cables and technology manufacturing them advanced far enough that the shielding has gotten good enough to where ferrite beads are no longer needed?
I think, Calvin,
what do you think?
Especially being in broadcasting, shielding is important. And sometimes you find yourself wrapping the cables up in tape or something else to make sure that there is no interference. I don't think it costs much more or is more difficult to add these steps and these components. So I think in many ways, just getting lazy. Now, the USB technology certainly has improved. We have USB 3, which is very fast. We have USB-C, which is also very, again, U stands for universal, but it's used to charge laptops, charge Android phones to transfer data. So it is continually evolving. The idea that USB is universal, which is what the U stands for, is great. But we don't want to skimp on the ability to transfer data or be secure or for things to last. I guess that's the best answer I can give you. Thanks again for listening to the Adam the Computer Guy mid-morning and afternoon Coffee Break Radio Extravaganza, which is sometimes also known as the Adam and Calvin Radio Program. Again, send me an email if you wish. Tell me what you think about the program. Any questions or comments or suggestions for topics are more than welcome. Adam at WWGH1071.com.
If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
Adam left.